Well, good morning again. Good morning. Thank you. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it through this week. Thank you. Thank you. The reason I asked you to do that is we live in South Carolina, and that white stuff that was on the ground, it scares us to death, doesn't it? I hope you had plenty of milk and plenty of bread, and evidently you did. I'm glad you're here this morning. It's good to be in God's house. We have 35 of our church family away from us this weekend, the youth, and they're adults, and they're at Meltdown and Pigeon Forge, and it didn't snow up there, so that's a good thing, right? But they're there sitting under God's Word, as well as having a blast doing things that youth do, and they'll be back this evening. So we want to pray for them and pray for God to find open hearts to speak to, and they'll just have a good time, make a memory that they'll cherish the rest of their lives. I've got a lot of scripture I'm going to throw at you this morning, okay? But first of all, I want to give you for about 2 minutes. Last Sunday, I gave you the State of the Church address, all right? My sermon was about all that God did in our midst in 2017. And I want to give you a two-minute part two, all right? I want to mention three other areas that God blessed, three other ministries. And since I've already mentioned the students, the youth, I want to mention them as well. It was a year of transition for our youth as they had a huge group of students graduate high school. And they're in college and in different places this year. And then they had a huge group of middle schoolers come up. So now the very fabric of the youth group, our student ministry, has changed somewhat to a more younger kind of group. A lot of middle schoolers, and that's who's in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge this week. But last year they were busy in camps and in mission trips and in volunteer work. They went to their camp Big Stuff for the third straight year down in Florida. They took a mission trip to Knoxville, Tennessee, and worked on roofs there, as well as sharing the gospel of Christ in a neighborhood. They work every Wednesday or Sunday evening in our Awana ministry because Jason, our youth pastor, he really believes in teaching service. And so they're working in Awana, teaching God's Word and helping the kids and taking part with them there in Awana. We had 7 students get saved and baptized that last year, so we give God the praise for our student ministry. Our partners in prayer. This is a huge, huge ministry as it undergirds just about every other ministry in the church. They meet every Tuesday morning, and you can feel free to join them at 9 o'clock. And they're faithful. They rarely ever cancel for this. And then our partners in prayer, Internet. If you have a prayer request you want others to pray for, you can remain anonymous. All you need to do is, if you want to today, just fill out a card there in the pew rack and give it to me when you leave. Or you can go to faithearly@aol.com. And thirdly, I want to mention, we had a little report last week from our Brotherhood director and for the men's ministry. I want to mention women's ministry. I told Donna Southern, who's the head of that this week, I said, you know, the women's got their act together. The guys are going to get there too real soon, all right? But the women, they're so busy and they're doing so many vital things. They had 2 ladies' nights out last year. They had a retreat themselves in Pigeon Forge. And then the ladies' soiree. Did I say that right? The ladies' big bash, all right? The Night of Excellence, and they had a special speaker and singer, Dawn Smith Jordan, who came that Saturday night in November and then spoke on Sunday morning, and she blessed the entire church. And I'll share this, and then we're going on with my sermon this morning. I believe with all my heart 2 things. One is God blessed me and Jane by calling us here. We've been here going on 11 years now. But secondly, and even more importantly, Five Forks Baptist Church can accomplish whatever God's will is for this church. They have, and they are, and they will. And I appreciate that. I I'm proud of all that you've done for the glory of God. All right, we're in a series called Power Praying. And this is the second sermon for power praying, all right? And today we're going to look at intensity and intense prayer. Now, the word intense, that's an interesting word, I believe. When it comes to movies, they're rated R for many times intense violence, right? When it comes to sports, we speak of intense rivalries. When it comes to business, there's intense competition. When it comes to war, there's intense combat when it really gets thick. When we talk about something being intense, what comes to your mind? I believe when we speak of something that's intense, it exists to a very deep and high degree. The word is built off of another word, intend, like we intend to do something. It means to stretch out for something, to aim at something. And the idea is that if you intend on doing something, you're reaching out for something, you're aiming at something out there, then intensity is the degree to which you actually do it. So that leads me now to ask you a question. What would intense prayer be like? Have you ever prayed an intense prayer? Our little 2.5-year-old granddaughter, her mama, our daughter, Carol Lee, was telling me this week, spending some time with them, and all I could hear Nora saying was, "Mommy, Mommy, 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 Mommy." Finally, Carol Lee said, she says that 1,000,006 times a day. "Mommy, Mommy, 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 Mommy." Do you ever pray to God, "Father, Father, 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 Father"? What does an intense prayer look like? What would it be like? I believe that's an important question for you and I as we're talking about prayer for a few weeks. We're studying a prayer study in Sunday school. Intense prayer has power. Let me give you an example in James 5, 16 through 18. He gives an example. James writes, "The prayer of a righteous person." I explained that 2 weeks ago. A righteous person is just a saved person, okay? It's no one above us or anything. If you're saved, you're a righteous person. "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working." Elijah, here's the example. Elijah was a man with a nature like us. He's just like us. And he prayed fervently. He prayed intensely that it might not rain. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit, its crops. Now that teaching from the Bible, I believe, tells us about the existence of a certain kind of prayer. Not just prayer in general. God, help me through the week. God, get me to where I'm going safely. You know, we pray those prayers every day. But a specific kind of prayer, something called intense prayer. It says that kind of prayer is powerful. And then he gives an example, so powerful it's like controlling the very elements of nature, which is about as powerful as I can imagine. How about you? Huh? Elijah prayed intensely that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't for 3.5 years, and then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. Sort of like a clap on, clap off, all right, kind of prayer here. It's found, you're going to read the whole story about Elijah, it's found in the book of 1 Kings. Now, that's the power of God through intense prayer. We all need that. Now let me give you a New Testament, a gospel story here, okay? I'm not going to read it, but it's found in Mark 9. It's written on the back of your bulletin there of the scripture. Let me take you to a scene that I believe drives this home, all right? It's between Jesus and his disciples, and it's about the world of the occult, of the supernatural, okay? Let me just tell you, let me give you the condensed version of it here. Jesus, Peter, James, and John had been up on a mountain. Jesus was transfigured before them. That is, suddenly he appeared in his heavenly glory. He was dazzling white. Elijah and Moses appeared with him, and they were talking about his upcoming crucifixion and resurrection. And then they disappeared. God spoke in a cloud. He said, listen to my son. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Jesus, Peter, James, and John came down off the mountain, and the first thing they came across was a large group of people with the other disciples, and evidently the group of people were giving the disciples fits. Why? Because there was a young man there, a boy, who was possessed by a demon. It caused him to be mute, and from time to time it would just take over his body and throw him down, and he would foam at the mouth and just shake and rock and roll, that kind of thing. Sometimes they tried to throw him into the fire, and other times the demon would try to throw him into water, trying to destroy him. And the crowd said, we came to your disciples, but they couldn't cast it out. Listen to what Jesus said. How much longer am I going to be here? Oh, you unbelieving generation. You people with such little, little faith. Bring him to me. And they brought him. Long story short, the demon recognized Jesus immediately. He threw the boy down. The demon was scared to death. He's standing in the presence of God, or he's in the presence of God. And Jesus just, with the word, leave him and never come back. And the boy was healed. Everybody was amazed. A little later, when the disciples were private with Jesus, just them and Jesus, they said, why couldn't we do that? This is what Jesus said, okay? This kind of thing cannot be done by anything but prayer. Okay, we'll agree with that. I believe he said, but with intense prayer. They were followers of Christ. They faced a deeply spiritual challenge. They tried to solve it on their own. They couldn't. And then they learned they needed to pray. But they needed to pray with intensity here. It's that simple, and it's one of the most important lessons we can ever learn. So how do you pray with intensity? Okay, hang on. I want to take you back to the Old Testament now, okay? Because when I was working on this sermon, I was just reminded of this story here. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's about a king of Israel by the name of Jehoshaphat. Three enemy nations decide to tag team and come up against Israel and invade and conquer them. And Jehoshaphat knows they're going to be defeated. There is no way they can overpower these 3-1 odds. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, okay, the first five verses, after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites, they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazeron Tamar. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. And here's the key part of this verse. And he set his face to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord in the temple. And he said, or he prayed. First of all, the first thing Jehoshaphat did was he resolved intently to seek the face of the Lord. Instead of worrying, he worshiped. Instead of panicking, he prayed. He turned to God, and before he did anything else, he resolved, he firmly decided, I got to seek God about this. This is way more than anything I can handle. Jehoshaphat was afraid, the Bible says, and he set his face to seek the Lord. Does that phrase sound familiar to you? I've learned after over 38 years of marriage that when my wife speaks to me, I set my face to seek my wife. I look at her, and she likes it when I look at her and she's speaking with me. She doesn't like for me to be channel surfing. She doesn't like for me to be reading the magazine. She doesn't like for me to be working on my phone or my computer. She wants me to set my face to her. Guess what? Jesus Christ did the same thing. Read it in the Gospels. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face for God. He set his face for the cross. And it means you turn your attention. What do you do when you're praying an intense prayer? What do you do when you're praying with intensity? You set your face. You do five things. You remind yourself. Now, some of this is a repeat from 2 weeks ago. But if the Bible seems to repeat it, I think I need to as well. You need to, first of all, remind yourself how great God is. We sang it this morning, right? We don't focus on the problem. We focus on the greatness of God. The bigger God gets in your mind, guess what? The smaller that problem's going to get in your mind. Nothing's too hard with God. All things are possible with God. Do you agree with that? So I start my prayer not thinking about my problem, but reminding myself of His greatness. I can remind myself of His promises as well. God, I've read in your word, didn't you promise you would do this? Didn't you promise to take care of me? Didn't you promise to take care of all of my needs? Verse 7 in 2 Chronicles is a scripture. Did you not, O God, our God, drive out the inhabitants, Jehoshaphat prayed, and drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Didn't you promise this land to your people, Israel? Isn't this our land? Didn't you give it to us? Didn't you promise that? God, you promised that. I need your help. God, I'm asking you to keep your promises. Secondly, you can ask God, and I'm going to call it this, you can ask God for a breakthrough. Jehoshaphat prayed, our enemies want to destroy us. Won't you stop them from defeating us? He gives a very specific request. Do you know what to ask God? When you say, God, I need to get out of debt. God, I need healing for this particular thing. God, I need for my marriage or a relationship to be healed. God, I need for this conflict to end. All those things are measurable. They're specific. You'll know when they happen. And so you ask God for a breakthrough. Jehoshaphat asked these questions. He said, are you not God? Did you not help us in the past? Have you not made promises to us? Will you not do it again? You can pray those exact same things in your prayer of an intensity here. Here's the second part of breakthrough prayer. Tell God, I can't do this. I need for you to do it. Again, that's sort of a repeat, but listen, this is what will make an intense prayer different from any other prayer. When you say, God, I need your help, that means you still think you can do it. I just need your help, all right? That's a normal prayer. But in an intense prayer, you say, God, there's no way I can even possibly do this. It's beyond my control. You need to do this. And it's when you feel powerless. Have you ever felt powerless? Let me ask it another way. Have you ever held a screaming baby? Have you ever held a screaming baby for any amount of time? Have you ever held a screaming baby for an amount of time and tried to make it be quiet? A tiny little baby can control you and wrap you around its little fingers. Because you go, I'm an adult. Yet I'm going crazy if this child doesn't stop screaming. But no matter what you do, the baby won't stop screaming. That's powerless. When you feel that way, you need to pray an intense prayer. And Jehoshaphat prayed, God, you're great and you're powerful. We are powerless against this great army that's coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You ever been in that kind of situation? It's not like I need your help. I can't even do this without your help, God. I need you to do this. And then sometimes faith means doing nothing. Verse 13 says, "Meanwhile, all Judah stood still before the Lord." Sometimes when we pray that intense prayer, we stand still. We just stand there, and we're waiting, and we're trusting God. Sometimes faith means doing nothing. That's tough for Americans to get in our minds, isn't it? Sometimes faith just means standing there and waiting while the enemy is headed straight at you. And you just stand and you wait. And simply by standing, you're saying, "God, I'm looking at you. This thing's too big for me. And I'm going to wait and I'm going to watch and I'm going to trust." Here's the third part of intense praying. After you've told God and you focused on Him, here's the third thing. You listen to God. Okay? Here's something I'm adding here. Prayer is not us doing all the talking. A person who talks all the time, that's not a conversation. That's a monologue. We want to have a conversation with God. We're not spending the whole time talking with God. We're spending some time allowing God to speak to us. How do we do that? How do I hear God? How do I listen to God? I've never heard His audible voice. How do I do that? It's right here. You've heard this 1,000 times if you've been a Christian for a while. It's right here through this book, through reading this book. This book is filled with what God wants to say to every one of us. Let me just simply say this. Stop looking for a sign, okay? And start looking for Scripture. Stop looking for a vision and start looking for a verse. God's will is God's Word. And the more you read His Word, the more you're going to know what to do. This is what God said to these guys back in 2 Chronicles 20. "Listen, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord," this is what the Lord says to you, "do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, the end of the wilderness of Israel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." And then King Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. I mean, he's on all fours now, okay? And all of Judah and all the inhabitants, the citizens in Jerusalem, it's a pretty big group there, all right? They too fell down before the Lord and worshiped Him. Imagine the scene. An entire nation getting on the ground, bowing down on their knees and worshiping God because God has said, "I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it." And God says these things to you and I when we pray. First of all, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Secondly, it's His battle. He'll handle it. It's His battle. But while you're at it, while you're waiting, keep serving. Whatever you're doing, whatever ministry you're involved in, keep doing it. Take up your position and stand strong, He said, and then watch and wait. You will not need to fight in this battle, God said. Stand firm and you will succeed. The way you get stability is by putting your faith in God. And the more you get into His book, into His Word, the more you're going to succeed in life. Stand. Stand on the character of God. Stand firm on the character of God. Stand firm on the truth of God's Word, the Bible. Now, next thing. This is going to sound strange, okay? Thank God in advance for the answer. It may not even be on your horizon yet. You're still battling doubts. You're still wondering how this thing's going to work out. But yet, you're bound and determined, "I'm going to trust God." Go ahead and thank Him. Verse 21, "And when he had taken counsel with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and to praise Him in their holy attire as they went before the army and say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever.' Now what's going on here? They're thanking God in advance. They're putting the choir, they're putting the musicians before the army. They're marching out. They're going out, but the choir's leading them. Okay? Prayer and praise. When I praise God, listen, when I praise God in my prayer, that is verbalized faith. Thank you, God, that you're taking care of my problem. I want you to notice the power of thanking God, of praising God in advance. In verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, when they began to sing, the Lord set an ambush against the men of the enemy. And so they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and devoted them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all destroyed one another. Now the Israelites hadn't lifted a finger, and they win the battle by thanking God in advance. Let me ask you, and I'm including myself in that, when are we going to start thanking God for that breakthrough in our life? We wanted it all of our life, or we wanted it for the last little while, but you haven't been thanking God for it in advance. You've just been begging like you have to bargain or bribe or pressure God to say yes. God wants to say yes. He's waiting for you and me to show faith. When are we going to thank God in advance for what He's going to do for answering this prayer? When are we going to put the choir before the army in our lives? And then lastly, expect God to turn your battle into blessings. In verse 24 and 26, it just basically says this. After the enemy fought with one another and killed one another, it then took 3 days for the Israelites to take in all the spoil. And on the fourth day, the Bible says, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. The battle's been fought. All we have to do now is thank God in advance. Nobody has survived. The enemy turned on one another. The word Baraka means a blessing. The valley of bitterness, the valley of burden, the valley of battles was renamed the valley of blessing. God wants us to live in the valley of His blessings, not in the valley of battles. Three results then come out of this. The first thing, we get more blessing than we can handle. I can look back at battles and problems in my past life and how God brought me through. And man, the blessings now that I see. Verse 27 says, and they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head. They returned to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. We will worship Him more. We will praise Him more once the battle is over. And then the third thing He does is, and I mentioned this last 2 weeks ago too, unbelievers, those who are not Christians yet, will notice. Verse 29 says, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. They stopped and they said, whoa, who is this God? Who are these people? Wouldn't you like to have peace and security in your life? It's breakthrough prayer, intense prayer, no other way. Let's pray together. Father, now we come to You thanking You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. It's a lot of scripture, but God, the thing is, when we pray, and when we pray with dependence, and when we pray with intensity, God, You show Yourself. I want to ask You, God, now to help every one of us in here in our prayer life, that when we pray, we'll focus on You and not our problems. God, help us to remember how great You are and Your power. Help us to remember the promises that You've made. God, You're great and You're strong. There's nothing too hard for You. You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. You knew every problem that I'd have long before I was even born. God, You're the God of heaven. God, You helped me in the past. God, you've made promises to me. Will you not do it again? I'm asking God intensely, whatever it is in my life, in my family's life, at my work or at school, God, I'm asking for a breakthrough. I'm looking to you, not a consultant, not myself, not anybody else. I can't change this. I don't even know what to do, but I'm looking to you for help. And I'm willing to stand before you, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand for our final song, as we sing, God is leading you to pray that prayer. You can come and you can pray here. God is leading you to make a decision. Do so. It's one you need to share with me, or God is leading you to join our church. Will you come and meet me at the front? Let's stand and let's sing together.